Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4, Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at the Word of God tonight, and as I kind of gave you an introduction this morning, hoping to stir some interest and motivate some to participate in the service this evening, whether that's via online or to get back here in person, hopefully. We're going to read a passage of Scripture here, verse number 17, down through the end of the chapter, and then ask God to bless as we meet and speak this evening. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 17 through 32, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." I hope in your mind as we're reading this passage of Scripture that there's a correlation between the text and the topic for this morning and the encouragement that's given to us here in this text as you see the very many of the same words and the same admonition. He says in verse number 25, he says, "Wherefore, putting off away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you right now, and I ask you, God, that you would give me liberty and clarity of thought. We ask you, Lord, that you would be with this message, and as our tendency is, God, to think of others and to apply the Scriptures to those around us or to our family or to our friends, I pray, God, that you would bring this home to the heart of each one of us, and may we honestly before you evaluate our own hearts and see where we're at and respond accordingly. I pray, God, that this topic that we'll be dealing with this evening, which I believe is applicable to every person here, Lord, that you would use it in our lives. That you'd put a hedge about the church, that you'd protect the church family. Lord, we pray that you'll lead through the balance of this service, that you would be honored and glorified, that your people would be drawn into your presence, that we'd be challenged with these spiritual truths. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. On May 25th, George Floyd was killed by his arresting officers. This was a senseless and unnecessary act of brutality by these officers involved. Following the public release of the video that went around the world, which graphically showed what took place on that Minneapolis street corner, the country erupted. A fierce anger gripped the heart of America, and the people of every nationality took to the streets. They were angry, and someone needed to pay. Let me just say, they had a right to be angry. The perpetrators of this horrific act should pay. Now, you know me. You know that I'm for authority. You know that I support the police. You understand that that is my spirit, that I want to support authority and stand behind our men in blue. But I would never suggest that negligence or abuse of authority should be overlooked or tolerated. What was done to George Floyd was wrong. I cannot imagine the callousness of a man who's able to brutally murder somebody. That way. How could somebody treat another human that way? Tonight, I'm not going to deal with the racial implications that are at play. Everyone here has watched the news and tapped on your media outlet of choice, and you have seen the comments made by many. I've listened to a number of nationally known speakers that have addressed the issue. I don't feel tonight that's the direction that God would want me to go, except you know me as well that I believe there is no place in Christianity for any type of racism. There is no place in Christianity for any type of prejudice. If you have that in your heart, it's not just who you are, it's a sin and it needs to be confessed and forsaken. Parents need to be very careful in the raising of their children that they do not foster or grow any of that, black or white, either side. It needs to be done away with. I've said it many times from the pulpit, and I'll continue to say it as the Lord gives liberty, that there's no place for it in Christianity. No place for it. White, black, rich, poor, American, Indian, Filipino. There's all kinds of prejudices, and we need to let them go. Since the release of those videos for 12 days now, there has been protest, and quite frankly, there should be protest. There's nothing wrong with protest. We as Americans have been guaranteed the right to peacefully protest, to petition the government. What is not okay is to hurt other people because you're angry. The tallies are not in. I've done an immense amount of searching trying to determine the injuries that have been sustained since the protest began. There's really no way to put a number on it yet. I imagine at some point they'll begin to. There's at least 11 people that have been killed. 11 people killed since actively involved in these protests in some manner or another since the protest began. It's not okay to steal from your fellow man because you're upset. Just because you're angry doesn't give you the right to take what belongs to somebody else. I don't care how mad you are. It doesn't give you justification for that. Just because you're upset, it does not give you the privilege or the authority to destroy other people's property because you feel like it. The footage from Floyd's murder from that day until today has continued to be horrific. We've all watched as cities have been put on fire. Over $55 million worth of damage done in Minneapolis alone. I watched as a woman was beaten by three men because her and her husband had the audacity to tell the men not to break into the store where they lived. They lived in the apartment above the store, and they said, "This is our house, this is where we live, please don't break it down." And three men, one of them with a 2x4, beat a woman. Three men on one lady. I want to say that not everyone protesting is destroying property or hurting people or looting, but some are. Just like not every white man is racist, but some are. Just like not every black man is racist, but some are. Not every police officer abuses his power, but some do. Not every pastor is a fake, but some are. Not every Christian is a hypocrite, but some are. But I'm saying, beloved, is we've got to be careful to not allow our thinking to be controlled by the narrative and blanket everybody in society with that broad brush, because it's not the case. There is a problem running rampant in our country, and this is a match that has lit the fuse. The problem is uncontrolled anger. Uncontrolled anger. It is seen over and over again in the domestic abuse calls that are prevalent in society today. It's seen on the road where individuals will smash their car into somebody else's or get into a fistfight in the middle of a street because somebody didn't use their blinker. It is seen in the grocery line where a grown woman will throw her groceries across the store or at the teller because her order was not rung up correctly. It's seen on the plains where adults have to be physically removed from a plane because they cannot control themselves. They cuss and yell and scream because they were asked to sit next to a child. The child is sitting there, but maybe not. Maybe it's the adult that's sitting there and the child's the one up screaming. This problem is running rampant in our countries, in our country. Well, the match was lit, and like the volcano, it erupted. And anger gripped our nation and has swept across it. Every man's upset today. So I ask you, is that okay? Have you ever heard somebody say, "I'm good and mad"? I ask you, is that possible? To be mad and good? Tonight I want to bring you a message that I've entitled Acceptable Anger. Acceptable Anger. I want to look at the Word of God and find out, is it okay that we're mad? Acceptable Anger. So let's see here in the Word of God. First of all, I want you to see that anger is condoned by God. Anger is condoned by God. Look with you, would, back in the book of Exodus. Exodus, turn to the front of the Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 4. Verse 10 through 14. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 14, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto for, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, and who maketh the dumb and deaf and seeing and the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thee, with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. The anger of God was kindled against Moses. Moses here was making excuses. God had given him a mission. God had given him a task. God had assigned a responsibility to him, something that he was supposed to do. And he just made excuses. He just gave reasons why he couldn't do that or why he shouldn't do that. And God said, don't you understand? I made your mouth. I know exactly what your ability is, yet I'm sending you. And God didn't need Aaron to go, but Moses didn't want to do it alone. And God said, okay, I'll allow Aaron to go with you. But he wasn't happy. God said there that the anger of the Lord was kindled against him because of Moses' unbelief, because Moses wouldn't trust God. At least 18 times in the Old Testament, we read about the anger of the Lord being kindled. I want to show you a little bit different aspect. Look in 1 Samuel chapter number 11. 1 Samuel chapter number 11. In this passage of Scripture, Nahash the Ammonite was encamped against Jabesh and the men. Basically, the men said, okay, we surrender. You won. There's nothing we can do. They said unto them, hey, if you'll make an agreement with us, we'll come out and we'll surrender to you. We'll do whatever you want us to do. It'll be okay. Well, Nahash said, okay, here's what we want. We want to put your right eye out. Every one of you come here, come out, and we're going to put your right eye out as a sign of reproach against God's people. For the rest of your life, you'll carry that as a sign of reproach. Well, the men of the city, they said, could you give us a few days and let's see if we can find some help? If we can find some help, we're not going to do that. And I guess they were given some time because they ran to Saul and they told Saul the story. They told Saul what had happened. And I want you to look down in verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter number 11 and verse number 6. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul. And when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. Saul's anger was kindled, stirred up by the Spirit of God in him. Now, there's other times in Saul's life where he was under the direct direction and that he had an angry spirit in him. This is a time where he was directed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God kindled up anger in Saul because of this national injustice that was being done. Beloved, any time unrighteousness is being committed, it should, by the Spirit of God, kindle up in you anger. it should bother the Christian. Not for you. See, many times our uncontrolled anger is because we've been offended instead of the fact that God has been offended. I would like to also show you the Son of God, and I know you're all familiar with the most prominent passage when the Son of God cast the money changers out and he overturned the tables, but turn to Mark chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. Jesus here is in conversation with the Pharisees, discussing with them how lawful it would be to do something good on the Sabbath. He pauses and he looks at every one of them in the eyeball. I want you to hear the terminology in Mark chapter 3, verse number 1 through 5. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Jesus here looked at these Pharisees. He pulled the man out and he said, let me see your hand. He knew all these Pharisees were watching, and he looked at them as he said, is it wrong? Would it be okay to do good on the Sabbath? And he looked at every one of them in the eyeball with anger because he knew the hardness of their heart and their intent. Jesus, the Son of God, had anger. The righteous anger was just that. Righteous anger. Motivated by a broken heart, as he displayed, he said he was grieved because of the hardness of their hearts. You know the passage of Scripture where Jesus turned the tables over and the money changers. Verse number 17 is actually quoting a psalm in John chapter 2, verse number 17. After the tables were turned over, he says, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. 17 times that psalm, Psalm 69 and verse number 9, is quoted in the New Testament. That's pretty amazing. 17 times, God says, the zeal of thy house hath eaten him up. God holds the church in pretty high regard. And when the money changers were misusing the temple, he was angry. He was angry. I think Christ is fired up about what happens in his house. Beloved, there are some things that should kindle up anger in our hearts. Anger is condoned by God. As we've seen here, both God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, all expressing anger at different times. There is a type of anger that is condoned by God and that is without sin, for God has no sin. Henry Ward Beecher said, a man who does not know how to be angry does not know how to be good. A man who does not know how to be shaken to his heart's core with indignation over things that are evil is either a fungus or evil himself. Beloved, when things that are wrong are perpetrated in front of us, it should stir something up in your heart. It should bother you. The examples that we've read here, if we just took the situations that bothered God or bothered the Holy Spirit or bothered the Son, you see, there was a no faith, an unwillingness to trust God, an unwillingness to do what God had called or commissioned him to do. There was national sin where there's someone who could not stand up for themselves. This group of people had no defense. They had no means of defending themselves. And then their suppressors said, well, we're going to put out your right eye. That is completely unjust. They had surrendered. They had said, okay, it was all right. Yet their oppressors wanted to do it. Christian, we should stand up for those that can't stand up for themselves. Like the unborn. They need a voice. It's a sad day when it's acceptable, or when even among Christians we want to use the word choice. Somebody needs to stand up for them. That's something that should stir your heart to anger. Somebody should stand up for the elderly and the weak. Anywhere, beloved, that we see injustice taking place, we serve a just and a righteous God, and God's not pleased with that, and it should bother us. When God's house is being abused or misused, beloved, as the under-shepherd, when I see somebody wanting to hurt the house of God, it bothers me. It stirs me up. When I see somebody wanting to use some means to create division in the church, to cause a problem in the church, or to bring in false teachings into the church, there are some things that should bother us when God's honor is attacked. It should bother you, Christian. It should bother you when the New York governor says the number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. And I quote, the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, said the number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that. It should bother the Christian when the world wants to take what belongs to God. The only reason Andrew Cuomo got out of bed this morning is because God allowed it. He says hard work and goes on to describe the discipline and the effort by everybody. That's what accomplished it. Who gave them the strength to do that? Who gave them the wisdom to fight COVID-19? Who gave them the ability? Who kept them safe day after day while our paramedics and our nurses and our doctors fought this in hospitals all over our country? Who kept them all from getting it? There needs to be an acknowledgement of the blessing of God. And it should bother us, Christian, when the honor of God is taken. There's a difference between righteous indignation and man's sinful anger. Righteous indignation is controlled and with a purpose. Man's sinful anger is uncontrolled and without patience. Righteous indignation is without any hatred and without any malice, where sinful anger is motivated by hatred and malice. Righteous indignation is directed at sin. Man's sinful anger is directed at people. Righteous indignation is for correction, motivated by love, and man's sinful anger is for destruction, motivated by revenge. Righteous indignation is for sinful reasons. Man's sinful anger is for selfish reasons. Beloved, there is an anger that's condoned by God, but it's not the anger that is motivating most of the country today. we should be upset, and I'm not looking to try and take that from those who are raised up. They've got anger in their heart because of the injustice that was done, and it was clearly done, and there's no question about that, and there should be people upset, and there should be people protesting that this does not take place again, and justice should be done. But anger that's righteous anger is anger that is controlled. The problem with the nation today is most of it is uncontrolled anger. Beloved, this is the first of what will be several messages on this idea of anger. And I know a lot of you here sitting saying, Pastor, none of us are dealing with that. That's why as I began this evening, began to pray, I know you guys weren't out there rioting. There's probably nobody that will ever hear this message that was involved in any rioting or any looting or any protesting or any things that they shouldn't do with regards to that. But beloved, we have a problem with uncontrolled anger. It's prevalent in our homes. Mom and dad angry at each other. Mom and dad mad and angry at the children. Children angry at mom and dad. Angry at work. Have you ever lost it in a car when you're driving and somebody cut you off? Have you ever got upset and has it really got under your skin to the point where you're yelling at somebody that can't even hear you? We have uncontrolled anger, even in Christian homes. Anger is controlled by the Christian. I would encourage you later this evening to go back and read the passage which we read at the beginning. And just think about it in light of what's been going on in this country. But verse number 6 is a familiar verse, 26, sorry, says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Be ye angry and sin not. There is acceptable anger. There is some things that we should be getting upset about. But that does not allow you to sin. And you look at the list of things there in Ephesians that we just read and see if not almost everything that's going around our country right now is listed in that passage. Be angry and sin not. You need to control, beloved, what you get angry about. You see, the problem with most people is they look at their anger as something that they don't have control over. And that's the problem. You see, your anger should not control you. You should control your anger. There is some things that we should be getting angry about, but we need to control what those are. We need to control what we get angry about. We can't just get angry just because somebody ate your Snickers bar. You can't lose control and throw something or kick something or break something just because you're unhappy. You have got to get your anger under control, and you control what makes you angry. You say, "No, I don't." Thanks for confessing. You do. You should. Control what makes you angry. There are things we can get angry about, but if we're not controlling what they are, we're not controlling the anger. It's not a matter of just flying off the handle at whatever ticks you off. But I'm saying, beloved, that it's high time God's people get angry about the things that God's angry about. The problem is so many of us are okay with the taking the Lord's name in vain and the wickedness that's in the world and the debauchery that's on every hand. That's okay, and that's when we want to invoke the, "Oh, I'm a Christian," and Christians don't get upset. But then we get angry because somebody cuts us off, or we get angry because our order didn't come out right, or I'll tell you what, I enjoy playing golf, but there's a game that'll get you mad. I mean, I've seen grown men take a $200 driver and whip it into the woods because they hit a little white ball the wrong direction. They did it themselves. And they just grab that thing and just wham, throw it out in the woods. That accomplished a lot. I mean, $200 to just throw it away. Just lost control. They're not controlling what makes them angry. We get angry about so many foolish things, but the things of God, those things that have eternal purpose and eternal value, that the Holy Spirit of God should be allowed to stir up anger in our hearts about, those things are okay. Most people's anger is uncontrolled. They say, well, isn't that the definition of anger? I mean, you just get mad, right? I mean, it just happens. I just get mad. It shouldn't happen in the heart of the believer. You can control your anger. You say, no, I can't. You can. You know, how many of you have ever experienced a unpleasant conversation on the way to church? You're upset. She's upset. You guys are discussing it. And then you get out of the car and, hey, brother, good to see you. Yeah, glad. Yeah. You controlled it. You controlled it that quick. You say, I can't control it. She just makes me mad. You're at home and arguing and raising your voices and the phone rings and you say, hello. You controlled it. You choose not to because you want to get your point across, because you want to be louder than her or she wants to be louder than you. Acceptable anger is anger that's controlled by the Christian. There's a lot that I have intention to give you in the coming weeks as we look at our aversion to anger. Because of the fact that anger is caustic to the Christian in his life. But God has given us the ability to conquer it. And I want to give you some. We're going to look at those points in the coming weeks. Tonight, I wanted you to understand there is acceptable anger. But are we getting angry about the right things? Are we controlling what we're getting angry about? And when we're angry, are we controlling that? Or have we lost control? As God's people, we shouldn't be losing control. What's taking place in this country is not acceptable. The hurting and destroying of property and harming people. And there's something to be upset about. No doubt. There's something to be angry about. But that anger should be controlled. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I know that my perception is there's nobody here that's completely out of control. You've got a temper that can't be controlled. You're breaking things at home. You're destroying stuff. I don't know everybody's life, but Christian, that's not what God wants for us. And I would ask you over the next couple of weeks to read the passage of scripture that we read this morning and to really search your heart. And from the youngest person in here to the oldest, God, do I have unchecked, uncontrolled anger in my heart, in my life? Am I allowing that to control me instead of me controlling it? And just search and just say, God, would you show me? Am I letting the narrative that's out there control my anger, or am I letting the Holy Spirit control it?